Hi, Saucy But Sweet fam. I want you to close your eyes and imagine you're sitting in front of the TV. You're flipping through the channels and cannot find a single person who looks like you. If you're black or brown, this is most likely something you've experienced. If you are not, then just imagine living in a world where the people society chooses to spotlight do not look like you. Now, this can be referring to people in and outside of your race that society chooses to spotlight. Queen Lupita Nyong'o refers to this as colorism, the daughter of racism. For many, this is an everyday occurrence and can impact how you look at yourself in the mirror. So grab a glass of wine and let's unpack this. You are now listening to Saucy But Sweet with Allie McPherson, a podcast where nothing is off limits, where we talk about everything from romance, sex, pop culture, and everything in between. Sit back, relax, and enjoy an unfiltered time where we keep it sweet and always saucy. Joining us today is Mariah Thomas.
So, welcome to the show, Mariah. You are a new friend to the podcast. We're so happy to have you on. Can you introduce yourself for those who don't know you?
Yes, thank you for having me. My name is Mariah Thomas. I am a self-published author, a freelance journalist, and I'm also currently a grad student, and I'm really excited to get this conversation going.
CUNY gang. I got all my people from CUNY. I love it.
I love it.
Yeah. So, how have you been doing? How are you enjoying this hot back summer?
I'm honestly loving it. I'm very grateful that I've been safe during the pandemic. My family's been safe during the pandemic, and things are really starting to open up. So I hope to continue safely distancing myself, but also to enjoy the warm weather and just have things opening up in general, especially restaurants. I love going to restaurants, so I'm excited for that.
Yeah, I've been going out to eat, and I love it. It's just a little bit of normalcy back. You have any like plans, any travel plans you're looking forward to?
Nothing, honestly, nothing scheduled right at this moment, but you never know what's going to happen. Today is such a warm day right now, and honestly, with the way the weather is going, hopefully there'll be some travel plans.
For sure. Just for listeners to know, it is May 19th. Wednesday when we're recording this, and it is hot as hell. It is hot as hell in my house. It is hot outside. I was working out earlier today, and I was like, oh boy, this is gonna be a long summer, but we're ready for it. You know, I'm ready for the good weather and stuff like that, which I'm sure you are as well.
I'm ready.
We are ready. Yeah, so, you know, full disclaimer for listeners who cannot see us, because, you know, we're an audio podcast. You know, I doubt either of us would be considered by some black people as, like, dark girls, although I have always seen myself as such. So I do want to say to viewers that, you know, we are brown-skinned girls and cannot truly relate to the experiences of a lot of other African-American women who are richer in skin tone and who experience colorism at a highest percentage. But I do think we, you know, at least, we do still have a place to talk about this, and this is something that has been on my mind for a long time. I'm sure it's been on your mind, colorism, and just how it has affected so many black women in the community. You know, and I also want to say, you know, one of the reasons I always consider myself a dark-skinned girl was because I was told in fifth grade by a white boy that he didn't date dark girls when a friend of ours had said, "Do you like her?" And he's like, "No, I don't date dark girls." And so that stuck with me in my mind, and forever I was like, okay, that's what I am, a dark girl, and I never thought it was bad. But, you know, things like that, it's funny how they just stay with you, no matter how long ago that was. So that definitely impacted me. Now, to ask you, you know, someone who is a little bit of lighter complexion to me, have you experienced instances where your complexion was viewed as a privilege and also a negative in society?
Personally, I am grateful to say I have not experienced where it's been negative to society, but I have realized my privilege in a lot of situations. And I am someone who is brown skin, and as you were saying, cannot truly relate to the extent of those who are richer in complexion, but it's definitely something that is still there. I've realized, especially in terms of the dating world as well, even when dating people who are of part of the black community, being that how they overlook those who are of darker shades, or even how they might overlook me compared to someone who is of a lighter shade than me. So even though we are brown-skinned girls, I think it's important to have this discussion overall in the black community. Everyone, whether you're lighter skin or you're darker shade, should be having this conversation revolving around colorism, because that's how we learn. That's how we educate ourselves about this topic and learn how we can uplift ourselves as a community.
It's crazy, too, because I know growing up, when you're one of the only black girls in class, you look around you and you're like, oh, I don't look like them. And you kind of want to look like them, despite the fact that you're beautiful. And my parents, growing up, they taught me I'm so beautiful. But yet when you're around other people of lighter skin tone, even black people of lighter skin tone, you're looking at yourself and you're seeing who the dark-skinned boys are going after, right? And you know, you see what's going on and you're like, oh, maybe if I looked a little different, or if I had this shade, I'd be prettier. And the media really doesn't help. The media actually makes it a lot worse. And we look at music videos and songs like Yellow Bone, and it's like, oh my God, we really, as a race, we're really struggling to love ourselves and accept ourselves. And, you know, that's something that has definitely impacted my life as it has impacted yours. You know, and something that strikes me is that, you know, in 2021, I still feel like when I turn on the TV and watch music videos on BET and such, I still don't see enough dark-skinned women. And I mean, like, truly dark-skinned, you know, and it makes me wonder, do we still not see ourselves as beautiful as our African brothers and sisters? Have you seen things that have gotten better?
I definitely think that things are gradually getting better personally, but the media still only shows one type of black person. And you do see this in music videos, and you see this when you look at different shows. Shows like Black-ish, shows like The Cosby Show, different shows like that, where they're just portraying the main character as one type. And that's why I even love a show called Insecure.
Yes,
I love
yes.
that. We have a dark-skinned character who not only doesn't have Eurocentric features, but has kinkier hair, you know, who has black features. And when the media only portrays this one type of black person, this is what audiences are seeing as black. This is what they're seeing as the norm, which it is the norm, because black comes in all shades and colors, but they need to start showcasing darker skinned people as main characters and even as side characters as well. Because when you look at different shows, who's the best friend? You have the black best friend of the white main character, but the black best friend is either biracial or she's of a lighter shade with a looser hair curl pattern. So I think it's important to really diversify to showcase how beautiful and how diverse the black community is, because right now we're literally just seeing one type. But it's gradually changing, I believe. I think people are realizing that this is an issue, especially when it comes to the movements right now, Black Lives Matter. I think because we are putting these issues at the forefront right now, the media is starting to realize how important it is and how hopefully deeply rooted this problem needs to be adjusted.
Yeah, and I love that you brought up Insecure. Insecure is one of my favorite shows as well. If I had Issa Rae on this podcast, I don't know what I would do with myself. Ugh, I'd just be so happy, because she, you know, one of her parents is Senegalese. She is so dark and so beautiful. Oh my, beautiful. She's actually the one who inspired me to like dye my hair a lighter brown. Like, I love her. And I think about her and I'm like, oh man, like this is why we need someone like her, because she's literally paving the way for so many other dark-skinned women. And actually, it's funny that you bring her up too, because I was just reading, she mentioned in a recent interview, that Lauren London was upset with her. Because in her book, Awkward Black Girl, that she published years ago, she had said that she felt like being a dark-skinned girl, a lot of executives just didn't really want to see her show and didn't want to see her ideas. And she said, you know, someone like Lauren London, they're more likely to hire. And Lauren London was upset at that. And, you know, Nipsey Hussle, rest in peace, got them to get together and talk about it. And Lauren London was letting her know, you know, you offended me because I'm also black and I also experienced the same things. And something that bothered me was like, well, you don't experience the same things, though. And I feel like Lauren London could have used this conversation to maybe understand her light skin privilege and talk about why dark skinned women feel the way they feel, instead of defending, you know, yourself.
I actually saw about that today. That is definitely trending right now. And honestly, I didn't read much into it, so I don't really know the thought behind it. But I did find it interesting that executives and producers didn't want Issa as the main character of her own show. So it's really interesting how They seem to think that no one will watch a show with a darker skinned character. And honestly, it might be like that now because the media continues to only portray one type of character. But you're right, it's important for those who are part of the Black community and who are of a lighter skin color to understand that there is privilege. Those who are brown shade, there's privilege. Whether you're darker skin even and you have Eurocentric features, you have more privilege than someone who's the same shade as you but has more blacker features, quote unquote. So I think it's very important as a community for us to really come together and have these hard discussions, because privilege really does exist. And if we don't really hone in on that and have these discussions, we're just going to be divided.
No, for sure. And you know, again, I want light-skinned Black women to sit to, like, not be defensive. Like, this is like kind of like what we told white people, you know, last summer. We were like, stop talking for 5 minutes and listen to your Black brothers and sisters who are dealing with so much suffering. We need them also, I feel like, to acknowledge and not to hate themselves. I mean, we don't want anyone to feel bad about themselves. We want them to be able to sit with us and say, you know what, you're right, I am experiencing this privilege, and I hope that there's one day where you get that role. I mean, you're seen as beautiful. I just want more of that. Another instance of that as well that really, really bothered me was, I know you remember, there was a dumbass radio host that we're not gonna give him any clout. He was fired, but he made some comments that Serena Williams was too dark for him, and that, you know, if I'm gonna date a Black woman, I kind of like my Black woman like I like toast. You know what I mean? I don't want it too burnt. I want my, you know, Halle Berry. And that didn't go over well with Black women. Of course, and Lisa Rae McCoy, I don't know if you know Lisa Rae McCoy, she defended him and said, well, it's just his opinion. What's wrong with that? And she's a light-skinned Black woman as well. This is what I'm talking about. People not acknowledging, like, yeah, it doesn't affect you because you're light-skinned, but it affects me. Or someone like Serena Williams who hears that and now feels like, oh my God, I'm like burnt toast.
That was honestly really, the fact to not understand that to compare a dark-skinned woman to toast is just such a disgusting comparison, and it doesn't make sense. It really doesn't. And to not realize why that doesn't make sense and why that is so ignorant and so hateful is truly very just ignorant. And I think people who are of a lighter skin color should also understand it's not an attack, because everyone has their own, you know, kind of struggles. Light-skinned people or people who are biracial might not feel that they're Black enough. You know, maybe some people don't consider themselves Black enough, but that's another issue on its own. And I think that might be why sometimes they aren't as receptive when it comes to realizing that they do have this privilege. But it has to be understood that the privilege is definitely still there. And that's why these conversations really just have to be honest and open, and to have these main figures comparing darker skinned women to toast, and for, as a Black person, not to realize why that's an issue just shows how ignorant some people in our community are. Because this is a historical thing going on right now. In the past, people who were biracial, people who were of a lighter shade, were always favored. And that's something that has to be understood in order to realize why things are the way they are right now.
No, for sure. This has been going on for so long, and I'm glad that we're having these conversations, because it needs to stop. And that's, again, why Issa Rae is so important. She's here to say, I'm a dark-skinned girl, and you're going to see me, and you're going to see my friends, you're going to see my Molly, right, Yvonne Orji, you're going to see all of us, and you're going to have to deal with it. You know what I mean? Because the idea that people don't want to see dark skin is such a lie, because look how popular Insecure is. Look how seen we feel. You know what I mean? Like, we want to see. I think they do want to see it. It's just the ignorant white executives, or maybe lighter skinned Black executives, who are like, well, no, you know, we're Eurocentric, you know, we want to see like the norm, quote unquote norm, right? And I think of shows like Black AF, Blackish. Jamie Foxx actually has a show called Dad, Stop Embarrassing Me, and he actually has biracial daughters. But what bothers me with those situations is Kenya Barris also has, I believe he has biracial daughters as well. My problem with them is that, okay, you have biracial daughters, okay, maybe you want to keep it similar to your family. Like, maybe even though your daughter's not that skin tone, it's still giving someone else that role in that place. And I don't know, I just feel like Kenya Barris, you know, and Jamie, like, they could be doing better. What are your thoughts on that, like, on the casting that they choose?
Well, I have to say, I do love the show Blackish, and they did have an episode where they did talk about how the youngest daughter is a darker shade compared to the mom and their children. But I think that right now, the shows that are coming up at the forefront that are just portraying black characters are just those who are only one type of black person. In the black community, there are those who are lighter, there are those who are darker. But right now, if you realize that only one type is being shown as a black person, I think it's important to realize, okay, going forward, we need to have just darker skin characters right now. We need to make it a norm to have a black family where the wife isn't light skin and the father's dark skin, or where the daughter's light skin and then the brother's darker skinned. It's kind of how you realize things are going. You know, you have a dark skinned father, light skinned mother, light skinned daughter, dark skinned brother, and it's kind of how it's portraying the beauty standards of what it means to be a black woman in a way as well. So I really think it's important right now for black public figures to realize that yes, having these shows are great, but you really need to diversify. You really need to we need to have black families who are of a darker color to make it the norm.
No, for sure. We really need to do it. And I mean, look at Tracee Ellis Ross. I love her to death. You know what I mean? But it's like we see her and we want to see darker skin women as well. And I think of Girlfriends, which I thought was really another one of my favorite shows. And, you know, they had, what was her name? The one who was bitchy. Oh my God, I can't believe I'm forgetting. Tony was a dark skin girl. And unfortunately, she wasn't there for the entire, you know, series run. Thinking about that, like, they had a different skin tones. Like, there was Joan, lighter skin, biracial. And then there was beautiful Tony, who was a bitch, but she was gorgeous. And I like that. It's like showing different range and no one being more beautiful than the other. Well, it's like they're all beautiful. They're all important to the show. I think of like some of the younger black women in the media spotlights now, like Zendaya, Yara Shahidi, Storm Reid. And I don't know. I want to see more Lupitas, you know? I remember when Lupita was on Vogue or something like that, when she was on Vogue for the first time. And we were all like, oh my God, you know? And when she talked about never feeling beautiful when she was young. And she's gorgeous, but her hating her skin tone. And I think it's because, you know, she just didn't see herself. The media just kind of props the Storm Reids a lot more. And talented as she is, it's like, come on. You know, it's disappointing.
I definitely agree with you. And I love Yara Shahidi as well. I love Yara Shahidi. I love Zendaya. They are a few of my inspirations. And they've also talked a lot about colorism and realizing that this is an issue. And I think that's beautiful, you know, to see people like that, people who are biracial, who are of a lighter shade, realizing that they do have privilege and they have those discussions. And a lot of times it's up to these higher-ups, people who are during the hiring process, the casting producers, probably those are the people who are white, who don't understand why this is such an issue, to be casting darker-skinned people as the main characters of shows. And that's why we need more people who are of a lighter shade in the black community to be advocates for their fellow sisters, because if we don't fight for them, who's gonna fight for us? You know, we're all one people. We might be different shades, but we've all gone through a similar struggle in terms of being black. Maybe not the same struggle, but a similar struggle. And it's important for us to realize that we have to help each other as a whole, and we have to advocate for those who are of darker skinned when we're higher up in the industry.
For sure. And you know, also we do see like things changing, like with, for example, Them. I don't know if you've watched Them. Everybody's dark skin, and I, even though it's, you know, it's a horror show, it's really, really good. I suggest everyone look at Them on Amazon. My listeners, tune in. And yeah, these are dark-skinned, beautiful dark-skinned people. And so seeing that, again, I love it. Also, I don't know if you remember when Yellowbone came out by Dani Lee. And I think she was defending herself, saying, like, there's nothing wrong. Like, black women, you know, are saying how they love their skin, everything. What's wrong with me being, like, I love my skin? It's like, really? Like, the media, like, the world tells you that you should love your skin. Like, your lighter skin. Like, don't compare that to, like, what black women are doing.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, with that song, honestly, I think it's important to love the skin that you're in. You should always love the skin that you're in. But with that song, I just think it wasn't the right time to have it, especially right now when we're having these discussions about colorism and how divisive the black community is right now in terms of that. And we have all these social movements that are going on right now. I don't think it was the best look. And I think it just added on to the ideology, and maybe not intentionally. I don't believe it was intentional, obviously, for her to release that song, and, you know, but I think that it might have had that effect. It can have that effect, just being added on to the idea that as someone who is lighter skinned, you do have more privilege and you are favored above your other sisters with a richer skin complexions. So I think as a public figure, you have to really be mindful how what you do can impact your community. Whether it's on purpose or not on purpose, it's the little things like that that can really have a negative impact, and that can just give in to the stereotypes that have kept us down for so long.
Exactly. Couldn't say it better myself. And, you know, looking at some other things that have been really, really getting on my nerves for years now. And it's extremely disheartening because one of these people I'm going to mention is someone who I loved growing up. Like, huge crush. My first concert at Madison Square Garden was his. You know, Lil Wayne, Chris Brown, even 50 Cent, you know, have made it clear that they don't like dark-skinned women. And they like women with the quote-unquote good hair. And the man that I was in love with my whole life, Chris Brown, that was someone I loved when I was a kid. And he likes to date mixed women. Again, I think in one of his songs he said something about good hair. You know. And, you know, even 50, I don't know if you watch Power, but 50 Cent used to publicly make fun of Natari Naughton, who was on Power. She's dark, dark-skinned woman, beautiful. Also formerly in 3LW. And yeah, and would make fun of her publicly. And I was like, wow, so out of everyone on that show, that is who you want to call out and say is ugly and say horrible things to. And I just feel like it's so embarrassing to hear these men in our community who people look up to for some reason. You know, even they're talking about dark-skinned women and saying how lighter-skinned women are better. And it's just also, it's just disappointing to hear. Because, like, how can we move forward if, like, the people who are kind of in the, not the leaders, but people who are well-known are already showing their hatred for us?
Honestly, the 50 Cent incident, I do remember that happening. And I think that was just really crazy how that was just all online and to just do that. But when you have a lot of these black rappers or public figures who do have their preferences, it's one thing to have a preference, but another thing to publicly shame those in your community. And I'll admit, personally, I don't have a preference in terms of shade or in terms of race. I never really understood kind of racial preferences, unless it's, you know, to keep the culture or to have a similar ideology. That I can definitely understand. But I think in terms of having a preference sometimes, it can be due to society's influence on the dating world. So I do think that a lot of times, sometimes, not all the time, that some men are influenced, and some women as well, by society's standard of Eurocentric beauty. Not all the time. But I do think that society does, and the media, how the media portrays black women, definitely influences how men feel about their own people and how black women feel about their own people as well. And that's why I think it's important to always educate yourself. And when you are a public figure and a rapper who raps and everyone's listening to your music and your music is global, to really understand this and how what you say in your songs and how you put yourself out there can really negatively impact at times your own community.
These men are embarrassing themselves and embarrassing the community because the people see it. White people look and see and hear this. You know what I mean? And I remember, who was it? I don't even want to remember her name because she don't deserve any clout. But some stupid girl, she's an influencer or something like that Daniel Caesar is friends with. I don't know, you know Daniel Caesar, I'm sure. He very good musician, but also could be problematic and could be a lot more educated than he is. He defended a white woman who was saying, you know, she was wearing some shirt that was really inappropriate, I think, racially inappropriate. And then it also said, oh, to black women, oh, you're just mad because when I walk in a room, black men look at me. And they look at me more than you. Which is obviously disgusting to say, although I'm sure it's true, to be honest. Because, a lot of these black men do look up to Eurocentric forms of beauty. Daniel Caesar defended her. And it's like, instead of, like, defending your community and saying, you know, you cannot say that about black women. I'm a black man. I have a black mother. I have a black sister. He, like, defended her. And I was like, wow, like, we're so far gone. How can we talk about colorism? And how can we get these men to understand colorism when they they're letting racist things slide. You know, it's straight up just like white black racism slide. And I was like, wow, like we really, y'all need to pick up a book. You know what I mean? Like, it's really sad to see.
I very briefly feel as if I remember that situation. I don't remember much about it, but it is crazy for her to say something like that. To bash black women after that, after she had posted that, was just ridiculous. And it also goes down to black men having to educate themselves that black women experience, you know, a different types of issues sometimes compared to them in the community. It's really that Eurocentric beauty standards, and it's really just important for black men to educate themselves on just how black women are treated in the dating scene, how black women are treated as whole, as how they're overlooked in the media. And it really just goes down to educating yourself. And that's why I'm happy we're having this discussion, because we need to have more discussions about this in order for us to realize just how big of an issue it is and how deeply rooted it is and what it can lead to. Because that's what it really leads down to when you have black men defending racist actions, probably because they don't find it to be racist and they don't find it to be ignorant, because it's just not understood.
And it's not affecting them as black men. You know what I mean? And as I say, you have sisters, you have mothers, you have aunts. You need to have their black woman's back. You know, I'm just happy to see more shows like them, and more, like, hopefully songs, and there are songs too that uplift black women, like Look at Brown Skin Girl, where, like, in the Black is King film, Beyonce kind of showed like different skin tones of brown, but really, like, again uplifted like the Lupitas and the Kelly Rowlands, who again does not get as much, Kelly Rowland doesn't get as much attention as Beyonce does, which again is colorism. And it's, you know, Beyonce is very talented, I love her, but so is Kelly Rowland. And why don't we talk about her enough? You know, it's just these little things. And I'm happy that Beyonce used her privilege to uplift these dark-skinned women. And I just hope to see more of that. And I think Pop Smoke did a song. I mean, I know he did a song talking about how he likes like lighter-skinned black women. And I was like, oh my God, I'm a fan of his. Oh no, this sucks. How am I going to be a fan now? And my friend was like, oh no, he wrote a song also about like dark-skinned women. I don't know if you're that familiar with his music. But, you know, I guess he's just loving all of us. I was like, okay, that's okay. That's okay.
Mm-hmm. And that's what needs to be done. Love everyone. We need to love our lighter skin sisters, darker skin sisters as a whole, because we're all part of the same community. So to have songs like that uplift both parts. And that's why I love Beyonce too, with her song, with her video, to uplift everyone in the community of all shades. That is so powerful. She's using her platform to shed light on her darker skin sisters and her lighter skin sisters, her brown skin sisters, to showcase that we are all one, and that together, as we come together using your privilege to really highlight some of these issues, it is so powerful and it is so important to move forward.
For sure. Yeah. And hopefully, you know, this time next year, I'm sure we'll still be talking about this, but hopefully it won't be as bad. Like, hopefully, again, we are getting better little by little. I do wish it was a little quicker than it's going, to be honest with you, because Kenya Barris has a lot of power in the media. He really does. He keeps having show after show after show after show. And, I mean, Mixed Dish and stuff like that, I want to see. And also, I guess more people can hold him to task, too. Like, you know, with someone with the power that he has, if there aren't other people doing what we want to see, we can ask him, like, why aren't you showing more dark-skinned women? And holding people accountable, which I think is so important. I don't believe in cancel culture. I believe in accountability culture, which I've said on this show in the past. I, you know, accountability, holding people accountable, hold people of your own race accountable.
Mm-hmm. You need to, because then they need to realize that there's a change that I need to make, and I need to educate myself so that I can get back out there and so that I can show that I'm not as ignorant as I used to be.
Dark skin girls, we got your back. We got your back. Brown-skinned girls, black girls, come on now. People like Lupita really keep me going. And Issa Rae, it keeps me feeling so much better about myself. And I wish Issa Rae was around when I was younger, even. Like when I was in elementary school, the only black girl in my class. But I'm happy to have her now at 25. You know, it's never too late.
Never too late. As long as that change is made, it's never too late. As long as we're alive to see the change.
Exactly. Exactly. So many people before us aren't here to see it. But thank you for coming on. Come back anytime. You want to plug something, you want to plug a project, come on. You know, we love having our black women on. That's why we're doing this. That's why we do it.
Thank you. This is a great discussion. I'm happy to be part of it. And thank you for having me.
Before we go, we will be spotlighting Ernest Brockenberry for our Saucy But Sweet Tune of the Week Artist Spotlight. Ernest is a Brooklyn-based artist who uses his music to tell stories of heartbreak, nostalgia, and coming of age in New York City's vast and extremely diverse landscape. Through juxtaposing soulful vocal melodies and lovelorn lyrics with percussive rhythms and soaring synths, he aims to create a world where one can not only acknowledge the feelings but also move through them. Here is Ernest Brockenberry.
Hi, my name is Ernest Brockenberry, and today I'll be talking about my song Romans. I wrote Romans back in the summer of 2020, last year. I wrote it at a time where I was sort of trying to redefine my sound as an artist. I started teaching myself how to use Logic and produce at the beginning of 2020, right at the start of the pandemic. And by the summer, I felt like I'd sort of fallen into a bit of a rhythm. And I wrote Romans kind of on a whim. It just sort of came to me. I started producing the track and the lyrics kind of fell into place before I knew it. Some of my inspirations in the industry are Jack Antonoff, St. Vincent, Blood Orange. I think for this song, I really wanted to channel some of the things that I hear in Blood Orange's production, the sort of nonstop groove that sort of makes your body want to keep moving. And I think that the song sort of had that from the beginning, just something about the percussion gave it that feeling. But once the bass line comes in and the chorus and the synths sort of start floating everything around and making you feel like you're almost suspended, I think that that's where I really achieved what I was going for in my eyes, because it's a sort of world that it drops you into where you're hovering and also sort of bouncing at the same time. Here's Romans by Ernest Brockenberry.
I wasn't built like the Romans. My contrapuntal's off by a little bit. How about you size me up in your kitchen? As I shift into a space I don't fit in, and fidget with my sleeves until they're stretched over my hands. And confidence has never been my strongest trait, and being around you, it doesn't help. I wanna be your lover, but I pull away. I wasn't built like the woman. I pride myself on all my subtle strength. My arms loose, home for your switchblade. And confidence has never been my strongest trait, and being around you, it doesn't help. I wanna be your lover, but I pull away. Can't give you the best, but I should know myself. And confidence has never been my strongest chain, the weakest link in the stadium. I wanna be your lover, but I pull away. I wasn't built like the Romans.
And that's all for this week. Thank you for listening to Saucy But Sweet with Allie McPherson.